And without further ado, I would like to introduce Tina Green. She's going to teach us how to take care of ourselves.
Green. Well, before we begin, you all know me. Most of you know me. But most of you may not know my history as far as a entrepreneur. Back in 1988, some of you weren't even born then, but in 1988, Craig and I purchased our first company. We owned a lawn care company in Nashville, and we went from zero customers to 1,000 in less than a year. We had dedicated our business service master at that point was service to the master, and that's why we chose to have a service master lawn care franchise. We did not mow yards. We kept them green. And so that was our job. And the first year we owned our company, I continued to teach. The second year, our company grew so much, not only did we need a person to take phone calls, but we also had a baby in that time. And so we needed to have a babysitter. And when we added up what it was going to cost to have a babysitter and somebody to answer the phone and take care of the books, we were going to make $200 out of my paycheck. We decided we could very easily cut $200 out of our life and me stay home. So I was very much involved in it. In the company from the very get-go, I was more of the marketing side of things. And so I was on the phone a lot. So we owned our company from 1988 to 1993. In the fall of 1992, the Lord said, go into ministry. And he told us that on an August night. We were in Chattanooga at a spirit-filled conference, and I was on one part of the room because I told Craig, I've got to go and just be on my face. He was up where we were sitting, and I was laying on my face, and the Lord said, go into ministry. And I'm like, I knew he was saying it for us, not just me. And I'm like, how am I going to tell Craig? We're the third largest franchise. We became the third largest franchise our first year out. That's God's favor. He also was preparing us to go into ministry. That's just a whole nother story. But how am I going to tell Craig that the Lord has called us into ministry? And the Lord said, just be obedient. So we get in the car, and Craig's comment to me was, did you hear anything? And I went, yeah. He said, so did I. I said, you go first. And so in that, the Lord had told him as well, we were to sell our company. Now, y'all have to know, not only did we have 1,000 customers, we had the rights to set up, and we had just put a franchise in Mount Juliet, but we had the rights to the state of Kentucky and Tennessee. And so when we both felt the call into ministry, Craig went to Vanderbilt, and he got a full ride scholarship, which is unheard of. Again, it was God's favor. I continued to run the company for a year, and the Lord said, it's time for you to sell it. And so we sold our house and our company within 24 hours of each other. Signed contracts within 24 hours of each other. That's God. And so the contingency of the sale of the company was that I stay on as the consultant for a year. So That just meant I answered all the questions. Didn't have to really do a lot of work. I helped them do the book work and learn how to do the book work. So as far as knowing where you all are, been there, done that, have the gray hairs to show it. But what Becky asked me to talk about today was self-care. And as a person who owns their own company, that's probably the last thing you take care of. And in church life too. Not that I'm staring at anybody. And you should be laughing, Missy. Not to point out, we don't. We're the last person we take care of. But in Hebrews 4, I'm not going to read all of that, but I'm going to point out a few things that it says in Hebrews 4, the first 13 verses. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. He set a time for us to rest. When he created the world, he rested on day 7. And then I want you to jump down if you're... Verse 6 says, so God's rest is there for people to enter. We're to enter into a place of rest. And it's a choice. The word rest in Hebrew is katapas. I'm sure I said that wrong. But it means to stop. And then further on, the word rest changed its meaning to nuka, and it means to abide and rest in. So if you put those two meanings together, you're supposed to stop and abide in him. Rest in him. That's where it comes from. So what does that look like in the world today? It oftentimes means self-care. So what does self-care mean? Does that mean we take pride in ourselves? When I was taking classes, and for those of you who don't know my story, I was in education, ran a company, went back into education, and then the Lord said at age 53, it's time for education to come to a close. I want you to go back to school and change careers altogether. So at age 56, I graduated with my second master's degree in counseling. So for those of you who are under 53, there's some of you in the room under 53. When I was in class at Liberty, I was one of the younger people. So those of you who are older than me, he can still call you. So I changed careers altogether. And so I'm at Liberty, and I'm taking classes, and two of my classes I had to do on campus. And in every class, whether it was on internet or whether it was in person, they kept using these two words, and I kept thinking, y'all are just not spirit-filled. That's why you need those words. And the words were self-care. I said, well, you're just not relying on the Holy Spirit enough if you need to take time and self-care. I thought I was self-confident and that I had the work of the Holy Spirit in me that I didn't need to take care of me. Now I'm going to give you a word that might describe where you feel. But y'all, that's pride. Sorry. Or for Jackie, not sorry. It is. When we think we've got it all figured out, we don't need to take care of ourselves, that's pride. Because every one of us, God rested from his work. And self-care, I'm going to give you the definition. What is self-care? Self-care has been defined as providing adequate attention to one's own physical and psychological wellness. Now, we all know that taking a nap here and there is a good thing. But how many of you are resting your minds? How many of you take time to just let your mind rest in the presence of God? I don't do it enough. Self-care is essential in the mindful taking of time to pay attention to you. And that is not narcissistic. You've got to take care of yourself. Because if you don't, you end up in a lot of harm. And you do harm not only to yourself, but if you don't take care of your mind long enough, you're hurting everybody else involved. I used to teach behavior disordered kids that were high school age kids. And I did that my first 2 years in Nashville. And my population were the high school age boys. And they'd all been kicked out of Metro Public. And so they came to the program that I was in to graduate from that so they could get back into Metro Public. And the first thing the principal said to me is something that I've operated on ever since. He said, if you need a mental health day, take it. It's as important as if you have the flu. Mental health is good. So I'm going to give you 10 things to help you in self-care. Self-care means knowing you and your limits. It means recognizing when you are doing more than you are used to handling and trying to figure out what you can do to slow down. When we first moved here, I had spent 10 years in Las Casas Church doing a children's ministry, and it was a small church, so I played the piano, did the children's ministry, did the women's ministry and the counseling. And so I was mentally exhausted. We get here and everything that I did in Las Casas had a hired position. And so I'm like, Lord, what have I done that you're taking me out of ministry? And he said, first off, you're going to need to minister to your children because this move has been hard on them. He said, but more than that, I want you to be Mary for a season. And I don't want you saying yes to anything. See, I didn't take care of me mentally. So he said, I don't want you to say yes to anything unless I ask you to. If somebody asks you to, I don't want you saying yes until I give you the yes. And then he also said, that means your mind too. I want you to be Mary. I want you to sit. And so there would be times that, y'all will laugh at me, when Craig was preaching and I am planning the next week. And when I was planning that, I would hear this word. I'm going to move my mic away from me. I'd hear, Martha! And the first time I heard it, I thought everybody else in the church heard it. It was that startling. And he said to me, you're not resting with me. I'm feeding you, but you're planning the next week. So for those of you who know me very well, you see me taking notes during church now because it helps my ADHD brain stay in the water instead of out planning the next thing. Self-care. Number two, self-care means getting the sleep you need and know how to rest. Number three, I'm not even going to touch that one because I used to think that people were funny if they went to bed at 9 o'clock at night. I used to laugh at them. If I'm still up at 10, there's a problem. So, number three, self-care means making sure that you're well fed. Do what you need to eat during the day. Proper food. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I'm a carb head. My weight shows it. But the Lord is convicting me and convincing me. I don't always do it right. But carbs are not your friend when you are trying to make sure that your health care and your mind care is good. Number four. Self-care means finding a way to decompress throughout your day, not just when you leave work. During the day, try stretching or taking brief walks, or go get a drink of water, talking to a friend, but just getting out of the muck that you're in. Number five, self-care means some thought to change a difficult situation. How do you make a day look less stressful? Take time during that day that's especially a stressful day. Take time for you. Whether it just means you go, and yesterday was one of those days for me. And I got in my car, didn't tell anybody I was leaving. I just got in my car and I left campus. And I get a text, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm gone. I'll be back." Didn't tell anybody I was going. I didn't tell them why I left. It was because I wanted to pinch about 10 people's heads off. But I left. And I de-stressed. And I had a new... turned on some great worship music and left campus. That's not bad. That's self-care. Trying to figure out ways to deal with stress. Number six. Self-care means taking time to get to know yourself better. Self-care means learning to recognize your own temperament and trying to prepare for your personal limits. Guys, we're not God. We may think we are. We've got to know our limits. One of the hardest things that the Lord had to show me one time was, and this was learning how to put personal limits. Or boundaries. If you need a book to read on that, the book Boundaries is a great book. I think every person ought to read it. But the church in Las Casas started out with 15 when we got there. When we left, it was over 125. But most of those people were new believers. And so one day I'm walking across my house, and I have four kids, so I had a lot of laundry. And I had my laundry basket. And I'm walking across the front room, and I get almost to my love seat. It was so ingrained in my head where this was because it was so pivotal in my moment in life. The Lord said, when are you going to get out of my way? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he began to show me these people's lives that I was involved with. I said, Lord, they're doing great things. And he said, they'd do greater things if you get out of the way. And I went, what do you mean? He said, they don't need to come through you when they hear something. You don't have to be in that loop. That's between me and them. And he taught me at that moment that I needed to put personal limits, not on just on me, but on other people that I'm working with. I hope that doesn't offend you. Recognizing your own personal limits. Number 7. Self-care means identifying what you enjoy doing and what's fun for you and make serious efforts to integrate that into your day. Do something fun. When I first started doing counseling, and y'all are going to laugh at me, but the Lord corrected me in this. But anyway, I needed something to do to take my brain off of the people that I'd seen all day long. So I needed something light, something that would make me laugh and take my brain away from all of that. So I can't even look at you, Sherry. I started watching the TV show Friends. Because I figured you would hate that show. I hated it when my kids were little. And anyway, I started watching Friends because I could just laugh. It was just stupid. It was filthy. And so just to make myself feel, redeem myself, this year in the 21-day fast, the Lord said, you're fasting from Friends. And now I can't watch it. So anyway, I don't watch it anymore, but early on in my, how I got through. That was something that I could laugh at. There's an episode of Ross trying to put on leather pants. If you don't watch any of Friends, look up Ross leather pants. You will just, anyway. So, have fun. It's not against the Bible to have fun. I truly believe Jesus was invited to the parties. Why was he invited to that wedding of the first miracle? What? He brought the best wine. Not touching that one. Have fun in your day. Number 8. Self-care means knowing how to decompress from your day. That might mean walking home from work to clear your head or make some kind of transition from your home to your house. I mean, from work to your house. When my kids were little and I taught, I worked about 10 minutes away from home. And the kids knew when they got in the car, we can't talk on the way home from school. The minute we get in the door, Mom will talk to us. But I had to have that 10 minutes of just driving home just in peace. I didn't turn the radio on. I kept my eyes open. But everything else was shut off because I had to decompress. That was my way. When you have 4 kids within the age of 8 years, you don't have a lot of time and quiet time in your house, and especially the parsonage was 900 square feet in Las Casas, so when you walked into the house, it was chaos because 4 kids running through the house. But anyway, decompress your day. Find out a way to decompress. Number 9, self-care means feeding your spiritual self. And I'm going to talk about that here in just a moment. And number 10, and finally, self-care means taking time to love yourself and appreciating yourself, and it's okay to go out and get a pedicure. Find something that makes you feel good. I know a godly woman who had, and she said, this is my self-care. I go every week and I get a pedicure. Not a pedicure, nail, manicure. And I didn't understand that. I thought, that's just strange. But I wasn't taking care of me. And honestly, guys, I never even knew the words self-care until I started taking classes. But there were times that I always felt like I'm just one second away from losing it. But it was because I didn't take care of this. One of the ways that I still do it, but when I first came to know Jesus, my favorite time of day when I first got married was 12 o'clock to 2 a.m. because I was in my mess, and that's when the bars were hopping the most. When I came out of that, my body was still set up from 12 o'clock to 2 a.m. I could get more work done in the office. I could get more work done in the house because the kids were in bed and Craig was in bed and I had my own sanctuary. And Craig would want to do Bible study. And I'd say, well, let's do it at midnight. The kids aren't up. And he'd say, I can't operate at midnight. And I'd say, well, why does it have to operate around your schedule? Sorry. That's just what I said. And so Craig just kept his mouth shut. And one day I was reading in Scripture. We were reading together. And it said, the Lord said to the Israelites, go out and get your manna before the heat of the day. And I heard it in my head, because your day will become soured if you don't. So our time to get up after that point was at 4:40 in the morning. So that also meant I quit staying up till 2 a.m. But we got up early every morning and had Bible study and prayer time for 4:40, from 4:40 to 6:40. And 2 hours a day. Now, how did I do that with four kids? We got up at 4:40. And if I was nursing a child, and our kids were raised to know if we're sitting on the couch and our Bible's in our lap, you better be bleeding before you come in. If you're up, you can join us, but you can't interrupt us. In fact, Matt, until he was a junior in high school, would lay on the love seat and listen to us read. We'd say, do you want to read with us? No. Just want to listen. He'd say, I'm going back to sleep. But he did it until he was a junior. He always said, I'm waiting on the bathroom too. Well, when he was the only one in the house, he didn't have to wait on the bathroom anymore. He was doing it because he wanted to hear the word. Statistically, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I do think it has something to do with what we're talking about, self-care. Statistically, 1 in 2 marriages end in divorce. Y'all know that. 1 in 2 marriages end in divorce if you go to church together. At one point in the late 90s, people were divorcing quicker if they went to church together than when they didn't go to church together. That's sad. But it's now about 50-50 now. About 82% of people who lived together or who had sex together before they got married end in divorce. Here's the one to keep your hat on. And remember, it's part of self-care. One and almost 1,200. It's 1,182 last time I checked. Almost 1,200. One in 1,200 marriages end in divorce if you pray together. Now, if Craig was here, he would say, you pray together, you stay together. And then he would get this big old smile on his face and he'd say, you lay together. Intimacy with the Father is real, and it's the best self-care you can have. Some of the best self-care we had and decompressed times we had was oftentimes when I was teaching, he would know when my 10 o'clock time came. And he'd bring me lunch, and we'd sit in my classroom and we'd eat. Part of decompressing the day. We also fasted. It was a great way of self-care. John Wesley used to fast from Thursday night to Friday night, and for most of the years of our ministry, that's when we fasted. It was Thursday night to Friday night. Another part of self-care is accountability. Who's making sure you take those times? Who's making sure that you are staying on the right track? It's part of self-care. My accountability person, my main one, was Craig. But Miss Jackie is my other one, and Christine Archer is the other one. Because I need someone to tell me when I've gone off track. I also told John, not only is he my covering, but he has permission when I am misbehaving. Just tell me to stop. And you don't have to do it as a couple, but try for self-care. Get away. Leave your phone at home or shut your phone off. One of the best reasons why we started doing cruises at the last for self-care, because there's no phone service on a ship. Figure out ways to take care of yourself mentally and also take care of yourself physically. Okay? Anybody have any questions? Y'all do a good job of taking care of yourself, right? Spiritually and emotionally, physically, working on it. My prayer is that you learn something about it today. And guys, whether you own your own company or whether you're just doing life, you need to take care of yourself mentally. COVID changed the world with anxiety and depression. I mean, the whole world went crazy for 2 years, and people didn't know what to do with themselves. Take care of yourself, not just physically, but mentally, spiritually. The Word says it. Rest. Read Hebrews 13 today. God, I just thank you for the opportunity to share. Lord, I ask that right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would just descend descend upon each person. Help them see the areas that they need to take care of themselves better. Help them to know that you want to help them in all areas as well. Move in your power. It's in your name we pray. Amen.